The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
Happy Thursday. Welcome back to the 4 o'clock hour of Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton. This hour, we need to talk about what's happening on our college campuses as we speak. Washington Post has the latest. Pro-Palestinian student protests continue to spread at college campuses across the nation, with police in some places confronting and arresting demonstrators and university officials trying to quell the unrest by closing buildings and issuing deadlines for protesters to leave. A tumultuous scene and dozens of arrests late Wednesday at the University of Southern California pushed its administration to cancel the school's main commencement ceremony, citing new safety measures that have been put in place because of the unrest. Since last week, at least 500 demonstrators have been arrested at schools, including Emerson College in Boston, New York University, University of Texas at Austin, University of Southern California, and I would throw in even up at Cal Poly Humboldt. Even as police have moved in, students, many demanding their institutions cut ties with corporations doing business with Israel, have gathered on new campuses, defying threats by administration and calls for crackdowns by politicians. I remind you that just this week, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson went to Columbia, I believe. Anyway, always good to be in conversation with Dr. John Ashbaugh. I invited John to join us for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's an historian. Two, he's been a college professor. And three, we are of the age that we remember similar incidents in the late 60s and early 70s. So there's a lot to talk about. Why am I babbling? Here's Dr. Ashbaugh. John, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dave, and hello all your listeners. You know, we remember all too well the unrest that was occurring in the late 60s and early 70s when I was in high school still. When I remember I went down to Cal for a Model UN thing that we were doing, and there was a smell of tear gas in the air, and there were highway patrol all over the place, and armed police officers and National Guard. And that was in the height of protests against the Vietnam War, 1968. Yeah. And that extended all the way, of course, to the Chicago Convention. But Berkeley had already set the model for free for protest on campuses all over the country with the free speech movement in 1963, when there was significant disruption there. The university administrator Clark Kerr, who was an outstanding university president. UC was expanding all over the place. They had just opened up the campus that I ultimately attended at UC Santa Cruz a couple of years later, and down in Irvine. And Clark Kerr was the protege of the whole system of universities. But he made some real blunders, as I think university presidents all over the country are doing the same thing right now. They're trying to squelch free speech. He actually denied opportunities for both the college Republicans and the Democrats to register voters out in Sproul Plaza. And he came to his offices one day and found them occupied by a bunch of students. Of course, they overreacted, and before long there were, massive protests seething up and down Telegraph Boulevard, and the Mario Savio stood on top of an Oakland Police Department car and exhorted the crowd with a megaphone, and it's been a lot of fun since then. But this is, as we say among college faculty, this is a teachable moment.
So let's back up, though. Why are these students protesting? What is behind all this, John?
Well, the current outrage, of course, is over the perceived genocide, and I think there are more and more people who perceive this. I just learned of a poll today that over a plurality of all Americans now, not a majority yet, but more Americans believe that Israel's has overreacted in Gaza than otherwise, than are supporting Israel. And it's a majority, it's a full majority among younger people, I guess maybe 25 or under. But certainly, you know, among the young, this is their first real experience with an international crisis. And because of the fact that most universities have a sizable, active, and really very, I think, intelligent and inquisitive Jewish population. I've had many Jewish friends at UC Santa Cruz and at Cal, where I later attended, and every college I've been to. I've had many great Jewish students at Hancock College, and of course at Cal Poly. There's a very active chapter there. I've attended some of their functions. I have many Jewish friends in this community, and they're, of course, very defensive as Israel, but you'll find they're actually very critical in many cases of Benjamin Netanyahu and his government. And that's, I think, some common ground for conversation, which is what we need to have. And that's what colleges should be providing.
All right. But so it's a two-point. Yeah. If I'm understanding this correctly, number one, they're protesting what's happening in Gaza. But number two, and with some of these universities, they have ties to Israel, and the students want their universities to break off all ties, investments, et cetera, in Israel. Am
That's
I correct?
Right. The slogan right now at UCSA is USC is disclose and divest. Slight variation of the boycott, divest, and BDS movement, boycott, divest, and what's the S for? I'm blocking on it right now. Sanction, but and those demands are not anything new. In fact, several of the more conservative Republican-led states have passed legislation specifically outline any calls for boycott, divestment, or sanction against Israel. That's, I think there's a dynamic going on here that Joe Biden is pretty old school, as we know. I mean, he's reflexively going to defend Israel and its right to exist, but he also is having a major confrontation behind the scenes with, and not so much behind the scenes anymore, with Netanyahu. He's pressuring Netanyahu to avoid what is probably going to happen within, I'd say that within the next 5 days, we're going to see Israel, the Israel Defense Forces attacking Rafah. And that's maybe going to be the tipping point where Biden will finally put on the brakes and say, okay, the military aid that we have committed to you is going to be suspended. That's all. That would be one thing he would need to do.
That's what the protesters want. They want us to stop supporting Israel.
Exactly, and that's what a major part of the staff people at the State Department want as well. Many of the young people, interns and staff within the White House want that. Increasing number of Democratic members of Congress want that. And I think the law requires it, too. I really do. I think that in view of the investigations that are going on right now, at least pending the results of these investigations, there ought to be a suspension of military aid to Israel.
But let's stay on the topic of the protests. So given that, John, what's your reaction to USC canceling their graduation ceremony? That's pretty extreme.
It is, and it starts with the blunder of having withdrawn their invitation to the valedictorian, Asma Jabassum. I mean, I've heard her speak, and she sounds like a kind of person I'd love to hear more from. You know, she was selected by the student body to speak for them. It's a significant honor, and yes, there were protests, as they have a right to. Yes, a lot of people objected and said they ought to withdraw the invitation. Apparently, some of those threats were significantly serious and might have implied a threat of disruption and violence at the commencement occasion that USC just folded. And the LA Times and the students themselves and the faculty, everybody demanded that she be re-invited to speak, and now they've only compounded it by canceling the entire commencement. They had also withdrawn the invitation to Judy Chu, who the producer of Crazy Rich Asians, and so they it's like these are the kinds of things that you spend a lot of time planning the commencement ritual. If it's going to mean anything,
sure,
and it should. I remember my graduation's commencement at UCSC was pretty informal, and we just had a poet speak for us. But those were times when, at major university, you would expect to have, and by the way, I understand that Joe Biden had spoken last year at Howard University in Washington, D.C., and now he's scheduled to speak on middle of May at Morehouse College in Atlanta. But there's a movement among the Morehouse faculty to withdraw his invitation over Gaza, there's a solidarity of sorts between African Americans in this country and Palestinians. They're both identifying as being oppressed by the the forces that oppress them.
All right, stay with us. Dr. John Ashbaugh is on this broadcast putting perspective on the student protests that are happening across the country as we speak. When we come back, let's go back to the late 60s and early 70s and see whether or not there are parallels. Your phone call still to come. We're live, we're local, we're hometown. This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. We are in conversation with historian and activist Dr. John Ashbaugh, defending the right of campus protesters as they protest East Coast, West Coast, and we agree that we expect more protests to happen in the weeks to come. John, as we come back to you, I want to get into the history, but first I want to make sure, drawing on history, you and I can agree we do not want anyone to send their National Guard to any college campus. Can we agree on that?
Absolutely. And that, of course, is one of the things that the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, spoke to. He called upon the governor of New York to send in the National Guard into Columbia, where they've already arrested over 100 people. There's been a lot of criticism of the university president there, Manus Safiq, because she called in the New York City police, and Columbia police, I guess, just didn't feel they could handle it. But the New York City police, not nice, not known for being especially gentle. They arrested a bunch of people, and fights broke out, and people were roughed up. Thankfully, nobody has died, but I think Mike Johnson is really out of line with this, as I think Donald Trump is out of line, suggesting that the protests around campuses now are far, far worse than when compared to the 2017 riots in Charlottesville that killed one person.
Right, but the point I'm making on the National Guard is that for people of our generation, we remember May 4th, 1970, and the National Guard in Ohio sent in and four students were killed. We don't want that.
No, in fact, that was such a real milestone in terms of and a very grave one, I think, for the nation, for the Nixon administration as a whole, and it did mark, I think, a point where and those protests were sparked by Nixon's invasion of Cambodia, but the choice by the Ohio governor to call in the National Guard at Kent State led almost inexorably to the death of those four students. And that famous photograph of Allison Krauss lying on the ground there, mortally wounded, and the student just, raging about this, having experienced this. It's not something you want to go to college. You want to, you want to have a an environment that is safe but also challenging, where you're going to be. And this is something I've always upheld, and I think most of the faculty that I know also believe that you want to confront students with some uncomfortable truths. And a lot of that has to do with our history. We are a very violent country. We were conceived in violence, but we've also played a really important role in bringing peace and democracy to those parts of the planet where it still does exist, and we're still a leading force for good in the world, as I think was shown by passing the bill that provided military aid to Ukraine and Taiwan. I'm not so sure about the...
Well, let me bring you back to the protests, though, John. Let's go back to the 1960s and the 1970s. Can we compare the situation today to the situation when you and I were in college? Because we're the same age. We were protesting Vietnam. Is it a fair comparison?
I think it is. I would think there's the same kind of motivation that is my students, beginning the conversations in their dorm rooms and the cafeterias, and of course, hopeful in their classrooms, that question, why is our nation supporting the actions of a military that seems to have been running roughshod over the rights of peaceful civilians? And most of the people in Gaza are peaceful. They've been under the thumb of a thuggish mob of Hamas, for sure. But Hamas is a complex organization, and any attempt by... Anyway, going back to the parallels, yes, there are clear parallels. I think people are outraged for the same, just because of the scenes they're seeing on television, the pathetic scenes of children whose parents are grieving their loss, and the suffering, the famine. It's inconceivable.
All right. But I would also point out, at least at this stage, the violence associated with the protests back in the 60s and 70s were far worse. I'm thinking of the Weathermen and the Black Panthers, the Students for the Democratic Society. There were people who were killed. You were reminding me during the break, the Democratic Convention this year is in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
And we got Chicago 1968. Holy cow.
Yeah.
What's happening now is nothing compared to what happened before, is my argument.
Well, I think it's certainly it's spreading as widely and as rapidly, and it seems to be university administrators are taking the same sort of a blind and almost ignorant approach. I think they should have been giving a lot of thought to the role of the university, which is traditionally, and I think legitimately, the university and college system we have in this country is a place where free inquiry, free speech, academic freedom is central to the role of the university. And yes, we can debate about the demands upon the institution as to what kind of research it is going to support. It is especially important now with artificial intelligence taking such a central role and universities being a place where so much of that research is being centered. And the amount of money that's being committed to faculty and academic centers around the country, I think those contracts need to be scrutinized very carefully. And that's why a lot of the administrators are under such pressure, because it's very tempting to take this corporate money and to do the kind of research that will lead to great offensive military capacities and privacy interruptions and complete control over civilian populations. You look at the way China is using artificial intelligence to control its population, and so many other countries are doing the same.
All right, well, hold that thought, John. We're going to go to news, traffic, weather. Dr. John Ashbaugh is our guest. We'll welcome your phone calls, read your text messages as we look at the campus protests taking place. I'm Dave Congleton. This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Historian Dr. John Ashbaugh is our guest. We're talking about the campus protests all over the country. More and more. You just heard the headline story on California Headline News. USC is now canceling their main commencement ceremony. If you want in on this conversation as John defends the right of the student protesters, we welcome your phone calls and your text messages, 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Do you agree with John that the students have the right to protest? Or do you share, for example, Mike Johnson's concern that we need to keep this under control? Whether it involves bringing in more police or more National Guard, what do we do? 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Back with you, John, on the Stolberg text line, text number one. It is an unfair comparison referring to Vietnam and today for the simple reason that we do not have the draft. Comment, please.
Well, the draft was certainly a factor in generating a lot of outrage among my generation and our generation, Dave. But it wasn't the only factor. I think had there not been a draft, the demonstration still would have occurred because of the fact this was really also the time when television news began to be available to everybody. And, of course, there were only the three broadcast networks at the time, but Walter Cronkite came on Harry Reasoner, and they showed these images of napalm bombing in Vietnam, and I think there was also, I think, just a recognition among more and more students that, yes, we had been born into relative affluence. That was included in the Port Huron Statement of the Students for Democratic Society at the University of Michigan, that we felt that there was we had an obligation. We were challenged really by John F. Kennedy too in his 1961 inaugural address to ask not what you can do, what your country can do for you, but what we could do was go down on the streets and get our country to withdraw from Vietnam, which ultimately, of course, did happen, and the draft was ended.
So let's take some calls. Let's take some calls. 805-543-8830 for Dr. John Ashbaugh. Phone lines are full. We'll get to you as we can. We start with Leslie in San Luis. Hi, Leslie. Leslie, turn your radio down, please.
We'll get to you as
Leslie, you know better.
Leslie, you got to turn your radio down. Leslie, turn the radio down, please.
Okay, can you guys hear me?
You turn your radio down. Now you got to turn the radio down, Leslie. Come on, you've been doing this for years.
She knows the drill.
Yeah. Are you there?
No, I'm here.
She's gonna call back. Oh, look, we've got Dr. Kathy Boggs calling in. Dr. Boggs, how are you today?
Oh, just fine, Dave. How are you doing?
Hi, Kathy.
We're good. What?
Yeah.
You've spent time on college campuses. What's your take on all this?
Yeah.
You and Larry.
Well,
yeah.
But I really think the colleges, basically everybody's running afraid. So the college administrators are running afraid that their donors are going to back out if they give the students any leeway at all. And, you know, again, I worked at UCSB. I retired from there several years ago. And the amount of money, of private money, that is required to run even the state schools is just amazing. So
So when
I started at UCSB in 91, I believe, the statistics showed that 80% of an undergraduate student's education was covered by the state. Now it's less than 25%. So they're having to make up that money by getting money from donors and corporations, which is leading to a lot of problems. But basically, as a university, supposed to help students understand issues and how to think through them, they should be actually having workshops with these students to teach them what are the issues and have them discuss it among faculty and staff and students, because what better and more important thing can you get involved in than just to really learn what the issues are, instead of just allowing all the shouting back and forth going nowhere.
John, I remember when I was in university, I was class of 75, there were more than one occasion where our class was canceled and the professor just let us talk about the war because he or she understood the importance of that. Comment on what Dr. Boggs is saying.
Oh, yeah, and you may, I'm sure Kathy and I and you, both, all of us knew Dr. Walter Capps, who taught the very, very popular, the most popular course at the UCSB campus was the religious impact of the Vietnam War, which he developed about the time that the war was winding down, and he taught it until he was elected to Congress, and I think maybe even beyond. There were Vietnam became a major topic of conversation, as it should, as the situation in Gaza, and by the way, in Haiti, and in Sudan, and in Taiwan, and so many trouble spots around the world, those have all got to be discussed. We need a well-informed student and faculty and community dialogue, and I hope things like that are happening at UCSB. I haven't heard of any protests at UCSB or even at Cal, which, or let alone at UC Santa Cruz. Maybe the banana slugs are going to come out from under the redwood sorrel here. But
so
I don't know. But really, yeah, they're missing this tremendous opportunity for learning and maybe coming up with solutions. For one thing, if you get a lot of people in discussion, you can come up with new ways of looking at a situation.
Kathy, how do you see this playing out?
Well, right now, they're just alienating the students more and more, and I think they're basically being influenced by social media rather than the facts of the case on the ground. So, I mean, certainly, if anti-Semitism is running around and American Jews are being blamed for what's going on in Israel, that's not really an understanding of what's going on.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk about that. Kathy, thanks so much for calling in. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832 for Dr. Ashbaugh. Mike is in Los Osos. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
This reminds me, remember when Obama came out and talked about needing a civilian army?
I don't remember that.
Remind us of the story.
Well, Obama had talked many times when he was talking about the fundamental transformation that we needed a civilian army. These protesters and the staffs of at these colleges that are terrorizing Jews and doing their whatever you want to call it, protesting, getting violent with cops, whatever. They are the civilian army he's talking about, along with the bureaucrats. They will become the bureaucrats who have turned our justice system into a banana republic style justice system, where if you're guilty of wrongthink, then they're going to throw the book at you. And if you're on the right, if you're a right thinker, a correct thinker in their eyes, then nothing applies to you and you're exempt. Okay, so this is the civilian army Obama was talking about. I congratulate the left on their Hitler youth. Okay, because they took over the schools. The kids, your last caller talked about teaching kids the issues and this and that. There's only one way of thinking at universities. You can't go against it. You'll be out of a job or out of class. That's just the way it is now. That's how the left operates.
Mike, hang on. Let John respond. John?
Well, Michael, I think there is a kernel of truth in what you're saying, is that there is a tendency of toward a sort of an ultra-orthodoxy of the left at many college campuses. So I will concede that point to you, and I do agree that I think in many of our institutions we're becoming entirely too polarized, and you'll find pockets of conservative right wing thinking. You have people who will only watch Fox News, and I will only watch CNN and MSNBC. That's sad, because we used to have far more unifying institutions, and that's what colleges and universities should be, not only unifying but also welcoming students of all political, ethnic, religious, and nationalities to mix and in the pursuit of truth and justice. And yeah. I do think you've taken things far too to the extreme, yeah. thinking that people on the right can't get a fair shake. And many times they are inconvenienced, to be sure, but I don't think we see anything like the type of violence that occurred in the 60s. I think Dave is right about that point, that's something we don't want to go there. We don't want to get the National Guard involved. We want to have greater dialogue, and we want to have the ability of all students to feel welcome, to feel safe on campus.
So let's go back to Mike.
Especially Jewish students.
Mike, so what do we do about the protesters? What would you do?
I would give them the J6 treatment. And I would lock them up indefinitely without trial. Since we're doing that with Americans who were simply standing in the Capitol, didn't even engage in violence whatsoever, they've been locked up without trial for a very long time. The ones that engaged in violence, sure, they've got to pay. But so the people who are engaging in violence,
hang on, John.
Or let's say in Texas, let's say what they just did in Texas, the cops arrested one of the violent protesters, and the protesters surrounded the cops and made them let the arrestee go. Okay? Now, had that happened at the Capitol, you would have already had four shows about that one issue, Dave.
Maybe only two.
Wrong.
All right. Mike, I appreciate the passion. I'm trying to keep the focus on the college protests. Thanks for calling in. All right, but let's address what Mike brought up. He's comparing the protests of today with the January 6th protests.
Well, for him to suggest that people are being held without trial indefinitely is factually incorrect. Most of the January 6th protesters have been tried, convicted. They're serving time, or they've paid penalties according to the degree of the offense that they've been convicted of. There are still others that are yet to be put on trial, but I think the scale of that was an insurrection. That was an attempted coup. That was an obstruction of proceeding of Congress in order to retain political power on the part of a man who had clearly been defeated by a majority of Americans, a significant majority of Americans, and a majority of the Electoral College, thank God.
Let's move on. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Dr. John Ashbaugh on this broadcast explaining what's happening with these campus protests and why he defends the right of students to protest. Jack is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Jack.
Hey, good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, Jack.
Good afternoon, John.
Hi.
Hi, Jack.
The thing is, I think everybody in the United States has an absolute right, regardless of what their opinion is, to protest. Absolutely, free speech and protest. What they don't have a right to do is break the law or hurt anybody else physically or even mentally. You can protest, but as soon as you break the law, then you subject yourself to being arrested.
I agree.
And so that's the bottom line is.
Yeah.
There should be no reason why they're treating these young Jewish students so violently. I think that's a shame. They blocked one of the professors out of Columbia University. They wouldn't let him inside because he said that it might cause too much trouble for the university. So that's discrimination. So we can't discriminate. We can't break the law. And the other caution is this. During the Vietnam War, during all those incidents, they had CIA, FBI embedded in all these organizations. Right now, I guarantee you, right now, there's FBI, CIA embedded in these organizations on the university.
Yeah.
And
are you okay with that? Are you okay with that, Jack? Jack, are you okay?
One more little point here.
No, Jack, are you okay, Jack, with the CIA and FBI being involved?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I say that, but it is a fact that they are there.
All right, what's your other little point?
I guarantee you.
What's your other little point? What's your other little point?
Can I make one point?
Sure.
Is that also, what their concept was is they wanted these university students to protest and get their angst out about these things. And as you know, it's getting close to summer break, and then they're gone for the summer. The same thing happens up at in any university. They protest. It reaches a crescendo, and then they go home for summer break.
Yep.
And then it just kind of subsides. But they do not have a right to be violent. That's dangerous when they get violent.
No one's disagreeing with you, Jack. No one is disagreeing with you. We don't want them to be violent. And if they turn violent, John and I are agreeing that they should be arrested and face the consequences. I appreciate the call. You agree with that, don't you, John?
Yeah, I think I would add a couple of things to it. One is, yes, the right to peaceful protest is guaranteed by the First Amendment to the Constitution, the right to petition the government, the right to assemble peacefully. And that's what, in most cases, these protests constitute. And when students are arrested for breaking the law, they will also be given due process. I still have faith in our justice system, unlike one of our earlier callers, I think Mike from Los Osos, but I don't have a lot of faith in what the way in which some of these administrators are handling it, especially when it comes to trying to regulate the content of speech. And there have been cases from both sides. There was a USC professor who addressed a group of students gathered somewhere on campus, and he was outraged the way they were supporting Palestinians, and he said all Palestinians ought to be killed. And he was suspended, at least for a while, from teaching. And on the other hand, when students verbally intimidate or suggest that Israel has no right to exist, that the Israelis ought to be all killed, that kind of speech, that crosses a line too.
All right.
And that has to be prevented, and consequences should be meted out.
All
whether
right.
it amounts to just a suspension from campus or expulsion or criminal penalties. I think every case has to be handled according to a pretty solid and well-considered set of standards.
So let's take another call. We got Bob in San Luis. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Dave. Hi, John.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Yes, college students absolutely should have the right to have peaceful protest. And unfortunately, so many times these university presidents will overreact by calling in riot-equipped police departments and or National Guard, which ratchets up the tension much more so than if it was just a handful of university police officers making sure nothing got out of hand. I think most of the confrontations happen because the police force comes out in such an intimidating, militarized presence. Too many times, the violence actually starts on the side of the police.
We saw that at Kent State. Well, the National Guard. John, comment.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we've seen here in San Luis Obispo, the Cal Poly protests, where the police were involved in an altercation in front of the rec center there because they were having a recruitment center inside. And several pro-Palestinian protesters tried to push against the police and enter the building forcibly. Fights broke out, and force was used both by, I believe, by city police as well as by university police. And, those are the kinds of things you really need to work harder to prevent that kind of thing from happening. But I also believe that there is blame to be cast upon the protesters there. Anytime you bring, whether it's the law enforcement bringing all the tools appropriate to a riot when it's really a predominantly peaceful protest, you're sort of asking for trouble. But when protesters show up with big boards and what could be used as weapons, clubs, signs that are bigger than they need to be, that can be intimidating.
Yeah.
And I don't blame university administrators for trying to strike a balance, but I think they have overreacted in this case, preempting even the opportunity to have students address the university and to have protests. And yes, they'll be disruptive. There'll be interruptions of the normal course of business. And when that occurs, you have to find ways to negotiate, as they've been doing somewhat in Columbia lately. They've given deadlines to people, and the deadlines have lapsed, and they've now restricted only the students themselves to be present on campus. But they've also allowed a whole tent city to emerge.
Let me get back to Bob. Bob, what else do you want to say before I let you go?
Well, the other gentleman who called in and said they should be treated just like the January 6th protesters. No, as John mentioned, those were insurrectionists. They had broken the law by simply entering the building. So these students didn't break the law simply by showing up to protest.
I'm glad you called, Bob. Thank you very much. We'll come back for a final segment with Dr. Ashbaugh. I'm Dave Congleton on AM 920, FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. I want to squeeze in a last text on the Stolberg line for John. Here's Susan, the birthday girl. She writes, "This is an unfair comparison. Vietnam War protests focused everyone on stopping Vietnam War. These campus protests say they focus on Gaza, but also focus on threatening physical and emotional harm to Jewish students." John, what do you say?
Too many of those protesters have, in fact, been responsible for that kind of rhetoric and that kind of violence in some cases against Jewish students, and I deplore that. Anybody would. But when you're peaceful protests, especially the protests that involve engagement and mutual support and solidarity between non-Jewish students and Jewish students, and that has been occurring on more and more campuses, I think that's the only way to really organize an effective protest. It's going to have any positive long-term effect on stopping the madness in Gaza right now, and that's by bringing people together, having some kind of a dialogue, and not intimidating each other, not bullying each other, and certainly not assaulting each other. That's where things get out of hand very quickly, and that should be prohibited.
At the 45-second mark, I'm just still struck by the fact that Democrats are gathering in Chicago. That could be interesting.
It's going to be, I hope not, an echo of 1968. I know the reason why it was selected, of course, is it's Obama's hometown. He's going to play a major role there. Bill Clinton will play a major role there as well. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are, I hope, going to be able, by that time, and this is still months away, be able to quell a lot of the discontent that has emerged so far about their failure to bring Netanyahu to heel. Which they clearly got to do.
Another topic. All right, John, pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate the conversation. Off we go. ABC Radio News. Craig updates us on time saver traffic and weather together. Up next, Karen Vealey from Cal Coast News updates us on local stories, including the big hearing that was taking place this afternoon. Stick around for more of the Dave Congleton Show.
The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111-911.